Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
This morning, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to the 13th chapter of John's Gospel as we continue our journey through this Gospel under the canopy of Jesus' words. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Matthew 11:28-30. You know, I'm convinced that the Lord wants more for us than we want for ourselves. Which is kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, in every area of our life, He wants more for us than we want for ourselves. Maybe if we would give Him a chance, He could have His way and it would be spectacular, huh? I'd like for us to read together this passage, if you will follow along in your Bibles, on your phones, wherever they are. The 13th chapter of John's Gospel. And as we do, we're going to have a little bit of a visual of this, so you can watch that if you don't want to read. It was just before the Passover feast that Jesus knew that His time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said not everyone was clean. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Father, help us this morning, because we're going to sit here in our humanity and we're going to try to grasp the eternal. This is only going to be possible as we are led in this process by Your Holy Spirit. Guide us into all truth. And may You have Your way in each of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage today, we're compelled to see the example of Jesus in what He knew in what he did and in what he said to those that he was ministering to. I'm a bit emotional or overwhelmed this morning because as I was praying, normal prayer time, the Lord spoke into my heart something that I'm to share with you, and I will put an asterisk beside that as I come to it this morning. I'm tempted to just go there, but this message is for all of us. In the opening verse, number one, Jesus gives to us his motivation for washing the disciples' feet. How many would agree with me that this is kind of a special occasion? Just the thought and the sight and what our minds can imagine of what that hour would look like. We saw a little bit here on the screen, but you can pick up your own imagination and think of what that night would have been like as Jesus disrobed and put the towel around him and knelt down and washed each one of their feet. It would have been a humbling moment for them, an anxious moment. Why did he do it? In verse number one, there's two words that set that whole thing as to why Jesus did this. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. The word means not only to see, but to see with perception. In other words, he could see what was going on, but with that seeing, he understood. Now, often we can see things that are going on around us. We just don't know what's going on. There's a lot of that happening these days here in our country and around the world. You look on it and you can see what is happening, even to the point where you could tell others, hey, did you see this? But then we don't really know what it means exactly. What is it going to mean for our future? What is it going to mean for our children and our grandchildren's future? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You see, but you don't perceive. Well, this word that is used here is he not only could see, but he could perceive, he could understand what was taking place. Jesus knew, it says, that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Do you realize how radical that is? Stop for just a moment and make it personal. What if sitting here today, you knew when you were going to die? I mean, you knew the day, you knew the hour that you were going to die and leave this world. It would have a bit of an impact on you, wouldn't it? It would probably shape how you live today. Come on. Okay, let me see. How many think it would shape your today if you knew? Now, keep this in mind as well, that he knew that his hour had come. He knew that within the next 12 hours, he was going to die. So bring it in a little bit. How would that change your focus? How would that alter your actions? It altered his. The time had come. The plan was in place long before the truth of that plan even was made known to Jesus, the God-man, here on this earth. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. His plan was in place, God's plan was in place before the foundations of the world, before anything was ever created. Now I know that just went, blew our minds. We can't get there. And yet, here on that day, in that hour, sitting in that room, supper had ended, Jesus knew that he was getting ready in the next few hours to give his life for all of mankind. I'll not pin this on you, but just kind of inclusively make us think for a moment. How many of us would put together our own agenda in that moment? Well, I need to see this person, and I want to get in contact with that person, and I want to do, I've got my bucket list, and I want to get this done, and I want to get that done, and you know, I don't want to leave behind me these things that, and so Jesus had one of those. You could call chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus' bucket list, knowing that he was going to die within a couple of hours. Because look what it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the extent of his love. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Two reasons. One, because he knew. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And because of that, it moved him to express the love that he had for those who were following him. It says, Jesus knew in verse number 3 that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. You know, he could very easily have put it into motion to say, you know what, in no time flat, these guys are going to be in heaven with me. So I'll just forget about them. Let's just move on. Let's go out and preach another crusade. Let's go, let's get out of here, and we're going to touch some more people just here in Jerusalem. They're all gathered here for the feast, so we could probably draw a big crowd. So let's go and preach one more time. No. His thought in that hour was to gather his own and to wash their feet and show them the extent of his love. When I say to you this morning that Jesus loves you, I can say with all assurity because of this passage that he doesn't just phileo you. That's the Greek word for friendship or feeling. He doesn't just have an emotional feeling toward you, but he loves you sacrificially. He loves you bent down, if you will. Oh, go on with me another step. Because Jesus knew, three more words, he got up. He got up, verse 4. We could say, in spite of what he knew, he got up. Because he knew the sin in these guys' lives. He knew the failures that were getting ready to occur. Most of us would have been hindered or would be hindered by what we knew. What does this say to us? It says inconvenience. He's the master of this banquet. He's the guest of honor of this banquet. He had every right to recline there at the table and be served at this banquet. If anybody was to wash feet, it would have been somebody else besides the master of this banquet. But he got up. In the physical presence of who he was their teacher. They were his followers, which meant that they were there to serve him in every way. So what he did, when he got up, he stepped out of character. I can say this with all assurity. When Jesus did this, he blew them away. Because he got up. And then it says, and he took his clothes off. Stripping down to just his undergarments. And then picked up a towel and wrapped the towel about him. And then took a pitcher of water and poured it into a vessel. And then knelt down at the first disciple's feet. Not sure who was first. It doesn't tell us who was first and who was last, but I can tell you who was there. Judas, the one who Jesus knew was going to betray him. Judas, the one that Jesus identified that the devil had already come into him. It's very possible and maybe even probable that Jesus started with him, washing his feet, wiping them with the towel. 12 men reclining at that table, and as the master, completely out of character, goes one man to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, because of what he knew, because of the extent of his love for them. Don't you ever, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, don't you ever think that he doesn't care about you. Don't you ever think that he is missing what you have done in your life. He knows exactly who you are and who I am. He knows all about our failings. He knows all about the bad stuff. And yet he shows us by his example, he's willing to kneel down and to wash our feet. Let me just fill in a little bit here. In case you didn't realize this, mealtime is not the time to disrobe. Huh? Are you with me? This would have been a strange thing. This was the Passover meal. Each course and all the elements had historic meaning. So they would have been following it to fulfill the law. Each step. Each element that they picked up, each and everything had significance in that moment. And all of a sudden, Jesus stands up and takes off his garments. The disciples had to wonder what he was doing. Huh? What in the world is he doing? Washes their feet, wipes them with the towel, turns around and sits down. Does it say? When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked. Let me just tweak this just a little bit this morning. Do you realize that this act was prophetic? Because in just a few hours, Jesus was going to disrobe of the flesh. He was going to take off the flesh. And in that hour, what he would be doing as he hung there on the cross and death took over that mortal body was he was kneeling down and cleansing or washing the feet of all who would believe in him. You see it? Can you feel it? You see, why was he doing it? Because he knew. He knew that all the power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. And yet he was willing to disrobe of the flesh, to die, to show every single one of us the full extent of his love. You see it? You and I were at the table. He was thinking not just of the 12 around that table, but he was thinking about us. You know, it says he knew. What was it he was seeing? What was he was hearing? What was it was coming before him, the vision that was before his face? Maybe it was of your face and my face. 2,000 years later, he could see. And as he knelt down and washed that first disciple's feet, perhaps it was Judas, and he's washing his feet, and he realized Judas represented scores, millions of souls who were not worthy of the Son of God to wash their feet, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And yet, there he is, kneeling down and washing the feet. That's us. How much does he love us? He showed us the full extent of that love when he disrobed and gave his body. He said, hey, I love you this much. And then he says, psst. Do you understand? Do you understand what I've done for you? The thing that the Lord gave me this morning is very short. And you can decide whether you will believe me and believe it's from the Lord, or you can say, well, there goes Pastor Bill. And I'm sure you'll come down on both sides of it. But what he put in my heart this morning is there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. And I believe it comes to us from the Lord who knows. You know, when there's a storm coming at your house, you look around your yard, you look around, you see if there's loose things that need to be picked up. Huh? You check to see that preparations are made. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the Lord, the one who knows, there's a storm coming. Jesus says, do you understand? Do you understand these things? Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand the impact? Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. If the Lord Jesus has not cleansed you from your sins, if he has not washed your feet, if he has not disrobed and knelt down and taken away your sins, you have no part in him. And when the storms come, you will not be ready. I can't tell you this morning if this is an economic storm, though I see those things on the horizon. I cannot stand here and say to you, this is what the Lord means by that. I can't fill in the blanks except to tell you that a storm is coming. This is the day, folks, to know Jesus, to learn of Him, to accept His cleansing. Come on, Lord. Wash my head. Wash all of me. The stuff that I have in my life that should not be there, this is the time, Lord. Just cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus. You know, it should be the prayer of our life if we really believe that this is true. If there's any part of us that believes that this is true, this is the day for us to be cleansed, to be washed, to be prepared. This is the hour for us to be ready to move. To move from this world to the one He's preparing for us. My Bible says He's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's looking for a cleansed church, a washed church. And you don't have to do the washing. He will do the washing. I cannot overemphasize the importance of becoming people of the altar in this day. People who are seeking and searching the face of God. People who are getting to know Him like never before. This is the time we take our eyes off of the stuff of this world, realizing it holds no eternal purpose for us. And we set our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the day. So, Pastor, you get emotional about it. I'm emotional about it because I want you in heaven with me. It's not sufficient for me to just make heaven. I want my children. And I want your children. It's not enough for just a few of us to be there. We need our kids. Our grandkids, our loved ones, to be there with us. There's work to be done. There's lives to be changed. It seems like everything in this world's got our minds, folks. Come on, do you agree? I said, it's like everything in this world has our minds. Even the political foolishness and all of these different things, you know, we just get absorbed in all of this stuff. And on the next thing that we're wanting to buy or sell or this or that, we just get all wrapped up in it and it doesn't matter. Oh, it has purpose as long as we're in this world. We can't step aside from the realities of this life, but listen, what matters is that we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that we get in there and we let Him wash us, cleanse us, and prepare us. Maybe we won't see death. Maybe Jesus will step to the threshold of heaven and call with a trumpet. And the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain in Him rise up to meet Him in the air. And the next Sunday, this house will be full. Every seat will be filled. Because then we will know as he knows. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I ask you what Jesus asked them. Do you understand? Do you understand what he's done for us? If you do, then he says, now you do it. Now you do it. You and I need to start giving of ourselves for the lost. It's really time for us to, if you can accept this analogy, disrobe of what is flesh and set it aside. And wrap a towel of humility about us and begin to wash some feet. You understand I'm speaking figuratively here and not literally. It won't do you good for you to go to your neighbor and say, kick off your shoes. But it will do something eternal for you to wrap a towel around and begin to serve the Lord with gladness. Truly to come into his presence with singing. To make that joyful noise unto the Lord. To serve him before a world that is hopeless and helpless. That they can see that the one who disrobed and washed our feet has changed our lives. And now we're willing. He said, oh, you mean that person over there and they hate me and they're your Judas. Even when he came to old Peter's feet. Huh? He'd already told him, before this hour is over, you're going to deny me three times. He would have been fully justified to have said, no, I'm not going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash this guy's feet because you're going to deny me tonight. Uh-uh. He was willing. Because see, along with that report, he also said to him, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that when you come through this, you're going to come back around. I believe that he wished that he could have had the same hope for Judas. But he knew. He knew. I'd like for you to just say something. I'm going to end this morning. Wow, you're getting it early and fast. Would you say those two words with me? Jesus knew. Say them. Now let's change the tense on it a little bit. To bring it right home. Jesus knows. He knows my life. He knows your life. He knows our priorities. He knows what we're all about in this day. What's got our attention? Where are the emphasis at? And he knows the hour. And I believe that he's trying to speak to us and say there's a storm coming. Be ready. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, I would say you come and fill an altar. And you ask him to cleanse you from head to toe. And heart to bone. And that we begin to live our lives like we're expecting to see Jesus any moment. Could be. We used to sing a song. You know, there's always got to be a song. What a day that will be. when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. It's only going to be glorious if you've let go of the stuff of this world and you're doing it the way he did it. I say one more time what Jesus said to his disciples, to us. Do you understand what I've done for you? Now do it for one another.